Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Day in the house of the Lord today. I'm glad to be with all of my church family this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to continue in our series in the Lord's Prayer. We're going to wrap it up today. We have finally come to the finish line of this our series, talking about Jesus's model of prayer, his model for us to know. If you're just joining us, again, I remind you that all the sermons are posted online. If you've missed some of them, you might want to, you know, kind of catch up, because we're going to kind of go back and forth. And they are foundational. They do build one upon the other. And so today, let me set up our message with a little story about a young man. I know the weather's starting to get nice, and this one young man, his father told him before he left the house in the morning, "Now, son, I don't want you to go swim in the canal, okay?" And his father said, "Yes, sir, I won't swim in the canal." And then a little later that evening, he saw his son walk back in the house, and he had a pair of wet swimming trunks with him. He's like, "Son, what's going on? Why are you all wet?" And he said, "Well, I was swimming in the canal." He said, "You swam in the canal. I told you not to swim in the canal. Why did you swim in the canal?" And he said, "Well, I had my swimming trunks with me, and I couldn't resist the temptation." And he said, "Well, why in the world did you have your swimming trunks with you?" And he said, "Well, I brought my swimming trunks with me in case I was tempted to swim." You didn't get it. Well, that's kind of in essence what we're talking about this morning as we're beginning to this next portion of the Lord's Prayer. And I got to tell you, of all the portions of the Lord's Prayer, this one, for me personally, tripped me up the most in trying to understand what it was saying. Because let's read Matthew 6:13, that part together that I have in the yellow there. Ready? "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, that's kind of an odd statement here, because if Jesus is instructing us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," that means that God would lead us into temptation. I mean, if we're reading that correctly. And so they're asking us to pray. It kind of looks like Jesus is saying, "Don't let us be tempted." Okay, but I got to tell you, that doesn't line up with some other things in Scripture. So as I began to kind of ponder this, saying, "Lord, what does this mean, and what does this mean to us today?" Okay, how is this model of prayer? What is it that you're trying to get at? And I want to kind of show you some things that my journey has taken me. First of all, I began to examine the word temptation. Lead us not into temptation. What does this word temptation mean? And this word temptation, it's an interesting word. It means proving, or a trial, or being tested. A lot of times it means proving by experiencing the provocation of evil. So, to all my high school people today, are you glad, or are my school, my junior high, and grade school kids, how many of you are glad school's over? At the end of your classes, some of your parents are like, "No." How many of you at the end of you took your course, what did you do when you finished your course? Did you take something? A test? How many of you took a test at the end of the year? Or you'd do a unit, and you'd study a unit, and at the end of the unit, you would have a... And the test was to show the teacher whether you got the information, and you understood it, and you could apply it. Right? Now, how many of you love to take tests? Oh my, okay, we got two of us, okay, our nerds in the front row here, we like tests. Well, tests, I never liked to take tests, like the rest of, like I think most of us, I really never enjoyed the testing part, because you're nervous, and you thought, what if I mess up, or what if I do something wrong? But I realized that the tests were important. If I go through driver's ed, that's great, but I don't get a license to operate a car until I take a driving test. And it's not to prove what I don't know, it's to prove what I do know. And not only what I know, but that I'm able to go do something. And so we need to kind of change our perception about what this is. Now, again, part of this testing or this temptation talks about a proving or a trial by experiencing provocation of evil. So the question is would God ever lead us to trials or to temptation? And before you answer that, let's look at scripture, because if we just go back a little bit in Matthew chapter 3, I want to read something to you. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Was God well pleased with Jesus? Yes. Had Jesus done anything yet? No. He hadn't done miracles yet. Jesus was just starting his ministry. Here he is, and he was baptized. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. So God was pleased with Jesus. God loved Jesus. He was his beloved son. And even though he loved him and he was his beloved son, look at what the next verse says. Then he was led up by the into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So, who led Jesus to temptation? Who led him? Right here it says, he was led up by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is God, is part of God. So God led Jesus to a place of temptation. Now, who tempted Jesus? The devil. You see, that's important for us to understand. It's important because sometimes we mess them up. You see, the fact of the matter is God doesn't tempt us. And so I got 3 points for us today. So why in the world would God lead us to temptation? Why would God allow that to happen? Why would God allow us to have our faith tested or tried? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and we're going to drop down to verse 12. Ready? Count it, this is my first point, the purpose of temptation. There is a purpose when you're tempted, and here it is. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what, church? Steadfastness. Now, why is that important? Do you think steadfastness is an important quality for us? Right? Another translation says patience. Do you think it's important for us to learn patience? Before you answer that, does God need patience in dealing with you? Yeah, I mean, God, I will tell you, God needs patience. I'm thankful that God is a patient God. Anybody else? And so, another way, steadfast. His love is steadfast. His mercy is steadfast. I'm grateful that His mercy continues to endure. Because if it didn't, woe unto me. All right? So, here's the next part. And let this is why you need steadfastness or patience. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be, let's read this next one that's highlighted and underlined. Perfect and come on, read that again. Perfect. Well, brother, sister, sign me up for that one because that sounds good. I would like to say that I lack nothing. Anybody else? I mean, I'm not talking about having some money in the bank account. I'm talking about peace, about confidence, about right standing with God, about being thoroughly equipped for every... That sounds awesome, doesn't it? And so how do we get... Well, if I'm reading this correctly, that when I'm tried with various trials and I stand, and it produces steadfastness, and that the effect of steadfastness allows me to become perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So if I'm going to arrive at lacking in nothing, perfect and complete, it is through the journey or the tunnel or the conduit of steadfastness that comes to me through trials. Goes on to verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Man, that sounds really good. I need a hat on my head, and it's the crown of life. That's a pretty awesome thing, which God has promised to those who loved him. So, it's important for us to understand there is a purpose for trials. In fact, if we read after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, it says in Luke chapter 4:13 that when the devil ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And verse 14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. I kind of use our driver's license analogy. He was licensed then to go and be powerful. God wants to show his power through us, but how he shows his power through us is some things have to be worked out of us. Trials bring growth. Can we all say that together? Trials bring growth. And so we should count it joy when we enter and when we face trials. Trials are not bad things. In fact, trials are good things. Temptation in and of itself is not bad. Now, let me put a caveat at this, because you need to get this point if this is going to make sense to you today. Because the question on the table is, why would God lead us into temptation? And then why would Jesus, because we've showed that God does lead us into trials and God does lead us into temptation. But then why would Jesus say, lead us not? Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't have that happen? Hang on. Trials bring growth. Trials are necessary. And the Spirit leads me into trials and temptations. But, you're everybody ready? The Spirit is not the only thing that leads us into temptation. The Spirit is not the only thing that leads us into trials. Anybody here, your mouth got you in trouble? Come on now. Has your mouth ever got your butt in trouble? That's how we used to say it. And it wasn't the Spirit leading my mouth now, was it? So does God lead us by His Spirit into trials and temptations? The answer is yes. Do I lead myself into trials and temptations? And the answer is also yes. And that is at the core of what I believe Jesus is trying to teach us in this prayer. Because if we see what happens next, he says, but deliver us from evil, which is the second part of that prayer. And he wouldn't say, deliver us from evil if we never enter trials and temptations. So what is the trial and temptation that he's referring to? Something different. Let me break it out with you like this. Which brings me to my second point. I'm already to point two. You guys are going to be out of here in time to get... But stop your clapping. You need this. So you tagged me in that video. How many of you saw that video of what preachers really think? Come on, guys. You make me look bad. You're having to get another belt in my pants. Okay. That was very funny, that guy. Here's the word of the Lord. All right, James, here's the problem with temptation. The deal is, if we're honest, God leads us into trials and temptations. But if we're also honest, we bring ourselves into those places. Because there's stuff. Anybody got some stuff inside of you? I'm blocking the light so I can see your face. All right, yeah, there's some stuff inside us. In fact, James tells us this. We go on, the next verse in James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But, here's the other part of temptation. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? His own desire. And then, desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. You see, I've talked and I've even counseled with individuals who may have stumbled or had something happen. And they say this, and it drives me crazy. Well, it was God's will for this to happen. I'm like, what? God didn't make me drive by a bakery and buy a cake and eat the whole thing. God doesn't make me order a Casey's pizza and kill the whole large. He didn't make that happen now, did he? Was that? Okay, yeah. You see, there's a problem with this thing. So does God lead us into times where he wants to promote us? And does that come through temptation? Yes. But we also, by what's inside of us, lead ourselves into some things. And that's where the problem. We're kind of like that little boy and we grab our swimming trunks. Even though Dad said, hey, don't swim. We grab our swim trunks just in case. Just in case something might happen to change. I want you to view it like this. To be honest, there are times God leads me to deal with desires inside of myself, and there are times that I allow my desires to lead me. Let me say that again. There are times that God leads me to deal with desires inside of me, and there are times that my desires lead me. All right? And so God wants to extract, if I say extract, he wants to take out, he wants to extract where Satan wants to exploit. So there's some issues or some desires, and a lot of them there are carnal desires. And if I have a carnal desire in me, Satan wants to exploit. God wants to, everybody say it?
Extract.
Very good. So Jesus is, this is my understanding as I've spent some time really, really pondering what is the meaning of this phrase, because I think it's important. Is Jesus is teaching us to pray for his direction over ours. Does that kind of bear witness in your spirit? She's loving this. She's loving it. She's precious. She actually gave me a smile this morning. I was so happy. It was kind of a half smile, but it was still there. I'm claiming it. So Jesus is teaching us to pray for his direction in our lives, for his leading. If we're calling him Lord, that he would lead us in his direction. In other words, don't let me lead myself. When I'm praying, lead us not into temptation. Lord, here's the deal. There's something in me that wants to go places I ought not go. Right? Oh, come on. How many of you know that it's bad to gossip? Yeah. Yeah. My amen sister. Yeah. So if we know it's bad now, but how many of us like to pick up the phone or like to, you know, we know that there's a conversation that's going to go south and yet we continue in that conversation, right? Oh, you're too holy for me today. Come on, church. We know where that goes. We know where this thing is going to end up. And yet we continue to go there. And my question is it God leading us? Because a lot of times I'm just going to call it like it is. No! There's a lot of times we are leading ourselves to that place. Jesus is teaching us that we don't lead ourselves. Don't let me lead myself. As I've begun to meditate on the scripture, this is what I'm coming away that Jesus is teaching me, God, you lead me. Don't let me lead myself. And that's corporately too. God, you lead us. Don't let us lead ourselves. Okay? And here, now let me go another step further. Why do we lead ourselves? Why do we get led into temptation? Why? Because there are times that we fall, and there are times that we miss it. And here's what I believe. I believe that we fall, and I believe that many times we lead ourselves into temptation simply because of this. We're out of balance. Everybody say the word balance.
Balance.
Not like that. I mean, that's... Yeah, we're out of balance. And here's how we get out of balance. So I have found experientially in my life when my prayer life sinks and my study life sinks and my service life sinks that they all kind of get tied together. My prayer life, my worship life, my study life, my service life, my fellowship life. When life gets out of balance, all those things begin to sink. And next thing I know, I find myself going to areas that I shouldn't go, whether it's in my mind or in conversations. I find that happening. Look what David says. Because David understood about standing and he understood about falling. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. Listen, this is great. David writes, the law of the Lord is perfect. In other words, he's talking about God's word. He's like, look, God's word is perfect. And he says this, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He goes on, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, the righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than the drippings, than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them is great reward. Who can discern errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Look at that. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent and innocent of great transgression. And Mr. Brokaw is going to love this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What this is letting us know is there is a balance. And when we get out of balance, we're not too far from leading ourselves into temptation. Now, here are some ways that we get out of balance. Some obvious ways. God, we don't fill and eat spiritually. How do we fill and how do we eat spiritually? By getting into God's Word. I know all of us, I'd say probably every one of us here today recognizes, you know what? I could be doing a little better and getting into God's Word. Another way is worship, is worshiping God. And our prayer life, which is why we're doing this whole series, is to begin to take that, like Martin Luther said, take a flint and a steel and take time, go through the Lord's Prayer, meditate every phrase. Our Father, you're my Father, you're our Father, you're a Father to me. I got daddy issues, help! You know, you're off for a 20-minute prayer right there. Talking with Him, who art in heaven, we can go through that entire piece. And just talking with God, prayer, service. You know, we're one of our discipleship groups, we're going through a book called 12 Ordinary Men. And what we're seeing is how Jesus taught people to disciple is He didn't say, if your spiritual walk is all passive. Everybody say the word passive. If you come to church to listen and to hear, good. If you go to small group to listen to hear, if you read your word and listen to hear, but you are never doing any service, you're out of balance. Jesus mentored the disciples by sending them to do stuff, even at the beginning. He didn't say, oh, you got to sit for 12 years and then go. He said, nope, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately, we're fishing for men. Immediately, you're sharing the gospel. Well, I don't know. What we can do as parents and as grandparents is don't offer your kids on the altar of busyness. And don't say, oh yeah, well I'm so glad we don't have to deal with that. Now we can fill our schedule with other things. You better start filling your schedule with family time and the Lord. If Ben wants to get offended, please get offended. I would rather offend you and you know that I love you. Because I'm walking that same path. I don't know. I'm praying to God, give me wisdom. How is it that we get our schedule so busy with sports, we get our schedule so busy with all these other activities, with this and that and the other thing, and we never have... You know what we lose? We lose rest, we lose relationship, and we lose discipleship. Those are the first three things that leave. Should it be like that? And don't think for a second that I'm a holier than thou looking down. I'm struggling trying to find that balance. I don't know that we're not there. It's all over the place. I look at schedules. I look at, and life is quick. Man, it goes by quick. My fear is as a church family and as families whom I love, man, we're missing it. We are missing it. Am I saying, oh, don't ever do it? No, I'm not saying don't take it that way. I'm saying balance, and that's between, that is not me to tell you what to do. That's you have got to learn to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is who will lead you. No more, oh, well, Pastor Michael, no, what the Holy Spirit leads you. Pray about your schedule. Pray about your calendar. Pray about those things. Are you resting? Because guess what? Even God rested, and I see Christians who are worn out. They're worn out at work. They're worn out with everything else. And then they try to drag themselves in and do something for church. And we're like, oh, we just got to go to church. Why? Because I feel guilty. Rest is part of your spiritual discipline. This is Jesus, and he's praying with his disciples in Gethsemane. He says, and he came and he found some of them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon Peter, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is... The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. God wants to grow us, but the carnal part of us wants to resist God. The carnal part of us only focuses on those temporal things and those carnal things. And so we are instructed to pray. If you don't pray, you're going to enter into temptation by your own leading. Jesus is not telling us to pray that we never get tried. I don't believe that that's the thought of what he's teaching us. Jesus is instructing us to pray that we are led by the Spirit so that we're tried by God. That we don't draw ourselves into the tempter's snare. Which brings my final point here today. And this is why we need to get balance so that we can see the provision. Third point is the provision of temptation. Here's what the Apostle Paul tells us, and man, this is a great verse. Well, first of all, Hebrews lets us know that Jesus understands what you're going through. He was suffered and he was tempted in every way, just like a man. He knows our temptations. He knows our weaknesses. He understands them. So he is compassionate with us. He's not sitting here saying, I can't believe you guys. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I can believe you guys because I get it. I understand. So here's what we find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation. How many temptations? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. I'm going to read that again. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Jesus understands what you're going through, and he will provide a way out. Are you willing to look for it? Are you willing to look for it? Or are we grabbing our swimsuit to take it with us just in case? Are we looking for the way out? Or are we grabbing our swimsuit? Final thought is this. How many of you knew Hee-Haw? Ever watched Hee-Haw? Huh? That means no. Okay. Hee-Haw. Remember the show Hee-Haw? And at the end of Hee-Haw, they'd have those one-liners in front of the fence. Anybody remember Dr. Campbell on Hee-Haw? And so Dr. Campbell would sit there, and these people would say it, and this guy came out with his arm in his cast and said, Doc Campbell, I broke my arm in two places. And Doc Campbell said, well, then stay out of them two places. Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But he said before there, and lead us not. Now, this takes us back to last week where we said, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, or forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, which started with an and, which tied into give us this day our daily bread. Do you need daily bread? Yes. How often do you need it? Daily. Do you need forgiveness? Yes. How often do you need it? Do you need to forgive? How often do you need it? Do you need him to lead you? How often do you need to see his deliverance from the wicked one? Yes. How often? Those, you see, the word of God is so beautiful. Those are all connected together. And, so daily bread and forgiveness and leading and deliverance. It's all connected every day. Part of your relationship with God. Just like we need daily bread and forgiveness, we need daily guidance and deliverance. And one of the ways that we can be ready so that we're not driving and we miss it. We can see and recognize the way that God has made is to be proactive in your spiritual disciplines, prayer, study, fellowship, service, and rest. Brothers and sisters, this is what God has for us. Let's all stand to our feet this morning, and I would like you to repeat with me this last portion here. God is not tempting you to sin, but God is empowering you to stand. Can we all read that together? God is not tempting you to sin. God is empowering you to stand. Let's make it personal. God is not tempting me to sin. God is empowering me to stand.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday School offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday School class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.